Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Topasaw.
That'd be really weird.
Yeah.
It was not weird for it to be in Northport today where I went and got me an albino squirrel.
Nor was it weird for it to be in Tupelo today where I was earlier as well.
I got 4 hours of sleep last night. And I was coming back.
You're a father. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's true. I was coming back from Tallahassee. I needed just a little bit of a boost, and it got me home. So it worked.
There you go. I got us out of the Delta here, too. Topasaw is in Pike County.
So oh, good.
Finally got us out
another,
of
the- another Indian name.
Yeah, it's true. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're looking to cook out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. It is grilling season. It's summer. It's time to go out there and fire up the grill each and every weekend. And to have the best cookouts, to be the envy of the neighborhood, you got to throw some beef on the grill. So do it. Get some steaks this weekend. Make it happen. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. We are just days away from Father's Day, so if you haven't taken care of Dad yet, maybe a trip to College Corner is in the works. Two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, followed by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town, always at Restaurant Tyler. Robbie, today is your birthday.
It is. It is my birthday.
So you were not in town today, but if you are come to town tomorrow, I will take you to Restaurant Tyler and buy your lunch for your birthday.
Oh,
you be here tomorrow?
I might have to make a trip.
All right. If you make it, you text me. If not, whenever I owe you lunch at Restaurant Tyler for your birthday. So whenever you come to town, I will take you to lunch.
I'm going to take you up on that.
All right, then. The real gift is for me, though. I get to go to Restaurant Tyler.
It's a win-win for you.
Anytime you can just tell your wife, like, well, it's his birthday. I got to take him to lunch. I'm totally selfish. So
twist your arm.
Yeah. Be selfish yourself. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy a lunch at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. They'll show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare and plan for your future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need them on your schedule. You need a bank that provides a different kind of level of service. That's what you get at Priority One Bank. They know you just like they know your money. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. 24 hours ago, and I mean really right at 24 hours ago, because we're recording this a little late in the evening. You know, Robbie getting back from Tallahassee, let him have some birthday time with the family. It also is your anniversary too, right?
It is. I was a smart person, so I'd never forget my anniversary. I just did it on my birthday.
Yeah, smart man. Yeah.
Not to deal with that. Mississippi State defeated UAB in the Tallahassee Regional the day I got married. I was having my one of my groomsmen give me updates from the game. He was having to actually text for updates because I don't think he could get Twitter or something. So like back then, like you could text and they would send you updates when you text. So he would just send me updates from the game as it was going on.
There you go. All right. Well, happy anniversary, happy birthday. And Mississippi State, as a gift, hired Brian O'Connor. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Kind of a, you know, Robbie went into some details on his message board, but we'll bring that here. So sort of, you know, what we knew and kind of thing and how it all planned out. And we got to go back to the start of this hire when Lemonis was let go. You were adamant. You know, this it's one of those times where you got a lot right during this search. You were on top of everything. You had all the information. You were correct, but you were wrong at the very beginning because you did not think Mississippi State could pull a coach the caliber. And I think we argued about this a little bit. I said, look, I'm not saying you can go get Vitello, but you should definitely call him. Should at least.
I think you agree with me that it was tough to get.
I still agree that it's tough.
I think I just said, like, it wasn't realistic. I just said, like, I didn't think it's realistic that, you know, you could go get Tony Vitello. But
right. And I agreed with you on that. But my thought process, and I don't know that I mentioned O'Connor in that moment, but I thought.
Neither one of us thought Brian O'Connor was a thing.
No, wouldn't think it was a realistic option at that moment. It became realistic pretty quickly into the process, though. You know, as you and I started talking to some folks, you know, I the interview we did on Sports Talk with Kendall Rogers was a real eye opener for me in terms of the amount of interest this job was receiving. And the question I had two questions for him that really it made me, you know, scratch my head a little bit when I asked him, is there a Lemonis type coach that you might want to keep an eye on? You know, a guy who's not on the original hot boards. And he was kind of adamant. He was just like, I don't think it's going to get to that for Mississippi State. And then I asked him about assistants. I asked him about Elander and Cog, and he's like, Mississippi State is not hiring an assistant. I think, and that was maybe 2 or 3 days after Lemonis was gone, I think he already had a pretty good idea at that point that O'Connor was the top target for Zach Selman. It never wavered. And you and I have been doing coaching searches, and we've done hot boards before. Very rarely does one guy get on the first hot board and stay all the way through and then end up being the guy. This is a very rare feat by Zach Selman.
Yeah, we talked about that the other day. Like, it just felt like O'Connor was going to last throughout the entire coaching search. They might end up missing him at that point, but it felt like he had kind of survived all that, and that feels like it kind of rarely happens. Mm-hmm. But like we said, like with Selman so far, Lebby was originally on the first hot board. I would say he was one of the first names that we mentioned on that. And he kind of stayed steady the whole time. But O'Connor is a little different because from the first couple of days of the search, he was kind of the, you know, number one target. Mm-hmm. And I think what you saw here from Zach Selman is like, I'm just not going to be denied on this. I'm going to make him tell me no. And even if he tells me no, I'm going to try again. And I think that, and I reported the other day that I really believe that he was kind of leaning a little bit towards Virginia. And talking to sources, I believe that to be factual, that last week he was considering staying. I don't think there was anything decided. I don't think he had ever said anything, I'm going to stay. But it was kind of wishy-washy on whether or not he would come to Mississippi State. On about Tuesday or Wednesday, I think it was Wednesday, Zach Selman kind of turned the tides with this, and he got Brian O'Connor locked down. And that thing was pretty much over on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And at that point, it was kind of like, let's kind of try to keep this under wraps for the next 2 days, next 3 or 4 days. Unfortunately, it got out that he was the top target. And this is what I told our members at Maroon and White Daily. When you see the national guys come out and say someone has emerged as the top target, mm-hmm. it is essentially done.
Yeah, if they say something like, so basically this is going to happen, it's not done.
Right.
It's not done, John. It's not done. But
do not say basically this is going to happen.
Right. But when Kendall Rogers,
I was like, in coaching searches, John, I was like, I believe
gotta leave yourself
you're
it out
on that, but you cannot say it's basically done. It's got to be worded a certain way.
So when yes, you're correct. When Kendall Rogers is tweeting that when someone like top target has emerged, Jacob Rudner from Baseball America, sources say that he has emerged. That they're telling you, and this is something we can all remember. This is a lesson we can learn for next time when we go through this. They are telling you that it's done.
Yeah.
And that it's just a matter of time. And that's what you and I were telling people, I think as early as Thursday's podcast, that basically it was I know I went on Sports Talk Mississippi and I told Borky asked me, he's like, do you think we're talking about this on Monday? And I was like, if State gets eliminated, we are definitely talking about it on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what happened. And so from that standpoint, you know, for you think about coaching searches and how the ebb and flow of them. For Zach Selman in this search to target the top guy being Brian O'Connor and to get him and to never really, I mean, you said it, you know, you thought there may have been a moment where there was some hesitation where maybe I want to stay. Zach Selman made it impossible to say no. He created a godfather offer for Brian O'Connor to come to Starkville, and now everything seems to be falling into place for Mississippi State. The assistant coaching staff looks like it's going to be complete by probably tomorrow or the next day with Mascara. I reached out to a source tonight. They said it officially could be later in the week, but I would imagine we'll start seeing some things later today. Probably, you know, start seeing some news. You know, if you want to track that plane again and see if it goes to Winston-Salem, sure. We saw today some reporting from On3's Pete Nakos about the potential for NIL, talking about putting together a $3.5-4 million roster for Mississippi State. You see all the Virginia players going into the portal with the do not contact tag on their list. They're likely headed to Mississippi State. And, you know, I think when Wake Forest, when Mascara leaves, you'll probably see a few guys there. And there was a poster on your board. I forget who it was, made a good point. But if you can give me the best players from Virginia, Wake Forest, and Mississippi State from this season and put them on a team next year, that's a top 10 team.
Well, heck.
That's hosting.
Virginia was the number two team in the country preseason.
Yeah.
They didn't live up to expectations, but it wasn't because they weren't talented. It was just one of those years, like, things didn't happen. And if you look at what they did late in the year, they just kind of dug themselves in a hole, kind of what State did, but theirs was deeper because they had built such a bad RPI. Because they won like 12 out of 15 games or something like that late in the year. It was never about talent with Virginia. And you look at these guys that are entering the portal. Henry Ford is one of the most talented players in the country.
Mm-hmm.
He's a draft-eligible sophomore that is a guy that can play multiple positions. He can play both corner infield spots. He can play the outfield. He played first base as a true freshman at Virginia, which is not an easy position to play. And then he moved to outfield in the offseason, and he played there. So in two seasons at Virginia, he's played those positions out of necessity and been good at it, and he can rake. So you look at Henry Ford, you look at Thomas Valencius, who is a lefty that is super talented, going to be one of the top players in the portal. I'm hearing very good things on Valencius and also his brother.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see on Henry Ford. Henry Ford is a guy that I think just about everybody in the country is going to be after. Tennessee, LSU, Texas, all those big names are going to be after him.
Mm-hmm.
And he still has the draft to worry about too. And right now I think he's, you know, a guy that is a college prospect, I think is a top 30, top 25 guy. So it might be borderline for him.
Mm-hmm.
But these are guys that are super talented at Virginia that you mix them in with some of the pieces that you already have here, buddy, there isn't any rebuilding at all. So
those guys, you keep Ace Reese, you get Noah Sullivan and Garrick Fry back for another year, Ryan McPherson, Ben Davis come back. Yeah, you've got
I don't think that it's a far-fetched thought at all to say this is very similar to what LSU did when they hired Jay Johnson.
Yeah.
LSU went and got they said, we're sick of this. It was kind of mediocrity since 2009 mm-hmm. with Paul Menieri. They had some good moments here and there, but they had not won a national championship since 2009.
Yeah.
And they were tired of it. And they went and got a sitting Power 5 coach that was very – well respected,
and don't forget, they went after O'Connor in that search and couldn't pull him in.
Well, and that's what they did. They said, "We are not going to be denied here. We're going to go get a great head coach." Scott Woodard did that, and he went out and got a great Power Four coach and Jay Johnson, who was doing really good things at a place that wasn't really, from a resource standpoint, very strong. And you remember what they did in the transfer portal. They went out and got Tommy Tanks, and they went out and got Paul Skeens. And
I
guys
remember
like that.
arguing with you about Tommy Tanks. Do you remember that?
No.
We argued because I said it's ridiculous that Mississippi State isn't in the game for this
In the
guy.
game for him.
And I forget what your argument was against. I don't remember. It's irrelevant now, but we argued about that. And I was just like, if you're an elite baseball program, this is a guy you should be trying to go get. And they weren't. And
Yeah.
it just upset me.
Well, I
So.
don't know. Like, it's just, I think that that's what, I think Mississippi State's kind of gone into that vein here where they're like, let's just push all our chips in on this. We got an elite coach and we're building an elite staff. I think Virginia's staff as a whole is an elite staff. If you look at what they've done accumulated over years, and you, if you add in Mascara, which is as of right now, the plan, you know, things change, things happen. I don't want to count the eggs before they hatch. There was somebody was pushing out breaking news about it last night. It's not a done deal. But if you add that guy in there and you consider him one of the best pitching coaches in the country, you have a lot to sell. You have an NIL budget that's going to be competitive nationally with anybody. And then, you know, all of a sudden you go get a few pieces here, you retain other pieces there. This is a roster built to compete for a national championship next year. I don't think State is that far off when you look at the connections that you have, especially if you bring in Mascara here. Wake Forest, Virginia, keeping Ace Reese, keeping Noah Sullivan, Orion McPherson, Jared Fry. I mean,
That's some
buddy,
big
you're right at
pieces there.
home. Yep.
Now, there is one scenario that where Mascara would not be at Mississippi State, I think, and that is quite simply, I think Tom Walter, the head coach at Wake Forest, is going to be a candidate for the Virginia job. And if he were to get that job, there is a chance, a good chance, I would think, that Wake Forest promotes Corey Mascara to their head coach.
That would muddy the waters for sure.
Absolutely, it would. So we need to watch, see what happens there. If Virginia doesn't go after Tom Walter, then everything should still be on pace. So that might maybe take a couple extra days than
But here's
we
the
thought.
scenario here for Mississippi State. If this does fall through, it is a easy for me, 1-2-3, Justin Parker, you're it. Justin Parker, if he doesn't get a job somewhere else, which as far as like, you know, being a group of five head coach, I think you're just better off just staying inside the SEC as a top assistant at that point, which is what we saw with Jake Gautreaux. Mississippi State would compensate him very well. He wants to be here. If this falls through at all, it is a quick, all right, the job is yours. You stay here. You get to keep the guys that you already have here. I imagine most of the pitchers that are already here would remain on the roster. You don't have any issues there. You get to keep some of those really talented young guys like Charlie Foster and Ryan McPherson and Luke Dotson. And I imagine with Kirby and, you know, the prowess that he's had in recruiting and Parker's been, I think, solid in recruiting, I imagine they'd be able to build a solid pitching staff out of the portal as well. So I think State, as we sit here right now, is in really good shape as a staff, as a program with the NIL. They're in really good shape to tear up the transfer portal here over the next few weeks.
Yeah, I agree with you there. That
And I mean, this is day one of the portal. I'm not saying that things aren't going to happen, but nobody's entered that you really didn't want to lose at this point.
right. And that's not, you and I both know that that can easily
It can
change
change.
at
It
a
can change.
moment's notice.
But the good news is, you had all that stuff yesterday that was kind of muddy in the waters with the news breaking and the players were upset and things like that. And nobody jumped in just yet. So we'll monitor that. But for right now, State is stabilized as a roster on campus. And it looks like they're building things behind the scenes to come in here. So.
You have to look at it in terms of, from an NIL perspective, I don't worry about money, right? I don't worry about State getting outbid. I think your players like Reese McPherson, they wanted to see who was going to be hired.
Yeah.
And now that they see it's Brian O'Connor, I mean, I have to think, I could be wrong, but I have to think they look at it and go, okay, this guy is an elite head coach. And if I'm going to get elite head coach plus good NIL, why would I leave? So
Yeah.
that's the hope there. We'll see what happens. I think at this moment we're not expecting anybody to leave, but that's the whole point of the transfer portal. You never expect anybody to go, and then they go, and We'll see what
I don't
happens.
know the rules exactly on medical red shirts, but I've checked with three different people at the university about Noah Sullivan that say he has another year.
Yeah.
And I just don't know. I don't know how,
He does have
but
one, though.
he has another year.
Yeah.
He had a season where I think he played 17 games.
Yeah.
And, at one point, I think the rule was maybe, was it like 30%? You can't play more than 30% of your games or something like that. That might be another sport. It might have been basketball. I don't know. But in his sophomore year, I believe he pitched in six games and he played in 17 total as a position player. So, I mean, would that be under 30%?
You're asking me to do math here that I can't do.
I
I
don't know how
just,
many games they played the year. I'm going to look.
yeah. I
I
mean,
mean, I don't even know if that's
what,
a rule. I
yeah.
haven't researched it. I probably
Whatever
should.
it is, if you talk to somebody at Mississippi State, they will tell you that Noah Sullivan has another year.
Yes.
That Garrick, and they will tell you the same thing with Garrick Fry. He has another year. So, I mean, if you're telling me right now that I can go, I don't know who the number two hitter would be. Maybe Gatlin
Played
Sanders.
60 games. They played 60 games in 2023.
And he
So
played, an
played in
hour.
17. That
So,
seems like it would be you
15 out
could.
of 60 is a quarter,
Yeah,
right?
that seems like it would probably apply.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I'm making up this rule. I have
Yeah.
no idea if
We
that's a
don't
rule,
know.
but I want to say that there, at one point in my mind, there was like a 30% rule,
Yeah.
and that would be under 30%, I believe. Again, I'm not a mathematician. I don't even know. I don't know what I am. I'm an idiot. But
If you tell me right now for next season that my 3-4-5 hitters are Fry, Sullivan, or I guess I would go Reese, Sullivan, and Fry, and then you put whatever around
Gary
that,
Ford.
I'm fine. I'm fine with that team as it is. Anything we want to, anything else? I think we both had agreed that the Wes Johnson smoke was just a leverage play.
I
Can
went a
we?
little more in depth and a lot of the back behind the scenes stuff
I
before I
think a
left for
lot.
down season.
I don't think worth bringing up. I think Mississippi State did Will Coggin a favor throughout this. They gave him a couple of interviews. I think that's kind of a setup for, hey, go out, get yourself some experience, get yourself a head coaching job, and then maybe in 10 years, and then you say like 10 years, but that's just not that long when you're young and you're a coach. We come when Brian O'Connor's ready to step down, we talk to you, and you're ready at that point.
It's
This
totally one of those.
he wasn't ready right now to be this
Yeah,
job.
no, it's kind of like a courtesy thing, and from what I was told, he had a couple of meetings with Mississippi State, and it's one of those deals where like this dude played baseball here, he coached here twice, he lives and breathes Mississippi State baseball. He loves Mississippi State. He would crawl on glass to come coach at Mississippi State. You cannot tick a guy like that off. And Coggin is already a guy that if you do that, he's a chip on his shoulder type of dude. That would be something I think that he would not be happy about.
Yeah, I
And
agree.
so if he ends up turning out to be a great coach and you're sitting there going, all right, let's go get our guy. He's our Mississippi State guy. Nope, you didn't interview me. I'm not gonna talk to you. So I think that's good on Zach Selman and the committee or whoever interviewed him and talked to him to go kind of sit down with him, see what he's got to say, let him interview. And all indications were he was extremely impressive, which that didn't surprise me at all. I knew he would be in that setting. He's a baseball purist, lives and breathes it.
Yeah.
But you let see how his career goes. So far, the trajectory is everywhere he's been really good. He's recruited really well, he's evaluated well, developed. All his hitters are powerful. So that's a guy that you kind of you watch him develop and see what happens.
Yeah.
Because Brian O'Connor, I mean, he's in his mid-50s at this
Mid-50s,
point.
yeah.
He might not want to be around for another 10, 15 years. And by that time, I imagine Will Coggin is probably going to be a head coach somewhere.
Yeah, so Coggin, he graduated from State in 2010.
Yes, he was on the what well, he was recruited by Cohen, was he not?
Should be Polk, right?
I can't remember if he came in as a JUCO guy.
I'm trying to, yeah, state's website is running slow for some reason. So he, let me see if I can find it here.
Yeah, I can't remember if he came in JUCO or not. But he, you know, that's a guy that was
that's
like,
high school, previous school was Boonville High School. So
that's a guy that like Cohen was really impressed with.
Yeah, and so, you know, talking about a guy who's probably what, like 35?
Yeah, he's about my age. He would be.
Well, yeah, if you, yeah.
He'd probably be a year older than me. He's probably 37.
So he's 37. So, yeah, you're telling me in 10 years when he's 47? I mean, that's peak coaching years there. So
oh, he's just starting, man. Like, he got into coaching.
I like that we hired O'Connor yesterday, and you and I are already, you know, looking 10 years down the road. So when Will Coggin comes in.
I think it's fine to talk about. Yeah. I'm impressed with him. I think he's going to be a good coach. But we were talking about him on the first day. And I told you about realistic hires. And a lot of people have been like, Robbie was correct on all of this from the very start. I actually wasn't. I never said Brian O'Connor's name until I got a call about 3 or 4 hours after we did that podcast. And I think
basically put you in your place is what that call did.
I texted you and I was like, I'm hearing that Brian O'Connor is legit, but I just don't know if I believe it yet. Call a few more people, and I started to believe it a little bit. It took me a day or two to really get on board with it. But at the first part of it, I really felt like Coggin was probably an assistant coach or like a group of five guy, like a Schuyler Mead or a Chris Pollard really made the most sense at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start to find out that Brian O'Connor's available. You can't consider those guys until he says no. If a Brian O'Connor comes along, you got to take your shot. And I give State all the credit for going and doing that, for just saying, we're going to do everything we can to give you the resources. Yeah. You're going to have to tell us no. And I think what you see here is, I think we've already talked some about this, but I think what you see is Zach Selman sees a window here for Mississippi State to make this program something that even it hasn't been at this point. And that's truly dominant in college baseball.
Yeah.
And this program's been up and down. The highs have been really high. The lows have been low over the last 25 years or so. Brian O'Connor is a guy that can stabilize that and make you really good every year.
Now, because the science exists, it can't all be good. And so we'll switch gears here and talk a little football recruiting. If State got the bad news on Monday morning that they're, I guess, their highest-rated recruit, right? Emmanuel Tucker had to decommit from the class, visited Ole Miss over the weekend, has a visit coming up with LSU. State's high school recruiting is a train wreck. Now, I'm not going to sit here and try to rationalize that. I understand why it is that way. You've had two crappy seasons in a row while your neighbors in Ole Miss and Alabama and LSU are winning. You combine that with the fact that, quite honestly, State's recruiting efforts were not great the last 3 years under Mike Leach. And that staff just didn't do a really good job around the state, by and large. If State wins games this year, you can turn that around. But like right now, I don't know if they're going to get a single top 10 player out of the state of Mississippi. Now, if they re-rank J.J. Hill, they will.
Mm-hmm.
But by and large, it is not a promising look for Mississippi State on the high school recruiting front right now. I know they got a couple of commitments this past weekend. I will go out on a limb right now and make a prediction. Neither one of them will ever make a contribution at Mississippi State.
Maybe the defensive end.
Maybe.
The safety, I just didn't understand taking him at this point. But I just think right now Mississippi State is like, it's kind of sad to say, they're almost like a group of five team to some of these kids.
Yeah.
They're using Mississippi State as a placeholder. When better offers come along, they go take those visits and they leave.
Mm-hmm.
And I want people to understand, if you have a guy that's taking official visits, he is not committed to your team. I love Paul Jones to death. I think he listens to kids sometimes too much and gets on board with them. Like a Camden Capehart, He's constantly taking visits somewhere else.
Right.
It would not shock me if that kid decommitted. I just, if you're taking visits somewhere, you're not committed. And state doesn't have the ability right now to say, all right, if you're going to take your visit somewhere, then we'll go look at somebody else.
Right.
We're good. They can't do that. With Iverson McCoy, they still have to recruit this kid. And I think that he's a solid player. I don't think he's a difference maker. But, you know, that kid decommitted from you. He was typing out a decommitment in the stands at a football game. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to continue to try to get him back in the class. And I think they still have a chance to get him back in the class. But it's just where they are right now as a program. And I don't think it has everything to do with the staff just being bad recruiters or anything like that. I just think it's really hard for this team to sell itself right now. Mm-hmm. They haven't done anything.
Right.
So it's going to take production from the players, production from Jeff Lebby over the next year to kind of get back in good graces. But mm-hmm. right now they're just not there. And these other schools, LSU, I think that Emmanuel Tucker has a lot to do with LSU
mm-hmm.
than just Ole Miss. But I do think Ole Miss, taking that visit, he thought, I need to open up this recruitment a little bit.
Yeah, which so be it. And it's one of those things, Robbie, you weren't going to say, oh, it's early. I mean, you're technically correct, but this is the time of year that traditionally Mississippi State has always loaded up the class, right?
You think
a year ago with those two big senior camps they had, and they picked up like 12, 13 commitments. And thus far, you know, not so much for Mississippi State. So we'll see how it goes, but State has got to be better. I mean, I'm not telling anybody this. I'm not, this isn't breaking news that Mississippi State has to be better in football this year, but because you're right. Right now, Mississippi State is not a college of choice of the top players in this state or any other. And, you know, you can't survive like that. You just can't. So, granted, you know, it's kind of funny, too. The two things that you would think the average player would be interested in, NIL money, State has that. And playing mm-hmm. time, State can offer that, but yet, they, you know, they're staying away. So I mean, that's
and they're having to overpay.
Yeah.
You know, for a lot of these kids too, just to I mean, get
this kid. They got a commitment from this weekend. This Wells kid. I mean,
yeah.
He's not somebody I expect to sign. I'll just be honest with you. You know, no offense to the young man. I hope he gets an opportunity and he takes full advantage of it. I hope we look up in a decade and he's been an All-Pro. You know, I wish the best for the kid. But you look at his offer sheet and you tell me that's a guy who's going to play in the SEC. Now, it's not 2011. You know, it's not where that class with Dak and all those guys that, you know, people made fun of. And, you know, Mullen was out there really working to find diamonds in the rough and evaluate those guys. And he hit on a lot of them. And that's what sort of sparked the best period in MSU football history. But I think those days are kind of over now because – you get a young guy in who's a diamond in the rough. Well, by year two, he wants to play. And so if you're not playing him, he goes somewhere where he can play. So rough, you know, again, the science in full effect, too much good happening at Mississippi State. It had to take a step back.
I'll take a football decommitment to.
Yeah. For Brian O'Connor. We'll take it. All right. Let's move into our SEC preview. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, or the older brother, also in the heart of the Cotton District. Two fantastic places to eat. We are so lucky here in Starkville with all the great places to eat we have around town. And Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the older brother are definitely two of the best. That's why you can, if you look up on any average day, you'll find us there. Today's Taco Tuesday. Go take advantage of, I think it's $2 tacos. All day on Tuesday. You don't want to miss out on that. Tacos are awesome. Go enjoy one today. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing that for 50 years.
50.
Michael Borky tried to do that today.
What?
He tried. I called him out.
Still a gimmick?
I told him it was gimmick infringement.
Can't do that.
We do an ad for Mississippi Ford dealers, and the Ford truck has been the best selling truck for 50 years. And he came in there with 50. I was like, oh, no.
Is he a listener to the podcast?
I'm sure he's listening. You know,
I know Borky listened to our podcast.
Well, you know, he's trying to get some pointers on how to be a successful podcaster, so he needs to listen to us.
Oh, is that what it is?
That's right. He knows that. You see right here? You see right there?
This is where the power
lies. That is where the power lies at Super Talk, right there. Yeah. So anyway, if you need business technology, you give Advantage Business Systems a call. You need a new copier, a new printer, new laptops, whatever it is, give them a call. They'll take care of it with a great product at a great price. But most importantly, when that thing freezes up, jams up, whatever, service is a phone call away, a 601 number, and somebody coming out a lot of times that same day to fix it for you because they're in Mississippi just like you. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. If you're going to be in Starkville anytime soon, the place to go is Maroon & Co. when you need maroon and white gear. Everything that you're looking for, all of the logos, it's right there at Maroon & Co. The biggest and best selection in the city of Starkville. Nobody with more inventory than those guys. Shop online at maroonandco.com. And best of all, you can save some money with our promo code THUNDER15. If you're looking for MO over S gear to celebrate the hiring of Brian O'Connor, Maroon & Co.'s got it, and you can save 15% off with our code THUNDER15. In-store or online, 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. Next time you're in Starkville, before you go to the game, you need to go to Maroon & Co. It's only Tuesday, but I know I'm already thinking about the weekend. And if you're thinking about the weekend, you're thinking about getting out there and mowing the lawn. You got some projects you need to work on around the house. Or if you just want to fire up the grill and cook out, everything you need is at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. It's a quick trip to Saltillo. But I promise you it's one that makes a lot of sense because they've got everything you're looking for. Tools, tractors, lawnmowers, grills, everything you need to enjoy your weekend, the things you like to do. When you're a man, you have to make certain choices in life. Are you a lawn man? Are you a tools man? Are you a grillsman? Doesn't matter what kind of man you are because Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden has got you taken care of. 3575 Tom Watson Drive in Saltillo, or you can shop online, scruggsfarm.com. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden has what you want for less. All right, the Arkansas Razorbacks. I'm going to go ahead and spoil it. It's not a spoiler. What is it? It's not a prediction. It's a spoiler. They're going to be bad. I got a bad feeling about the Arkansas Razorbacks.
Yes.
Scraped into a bowl last year, but we'll see. Here we go. I think they start off 2-0. Alabama A&M and Arkansas State. That Arkansas State game is in Little Rock at your favorite place, Robbie, War Memorial Stadium. I know you're a big fan of that facility.
I've never been there.
Oh, I thought you had been and like thought it was the worst thing ever.
No, I've never been there.
All right, well, it doesn't
but I'm
matter.
I'm sure someone did think it was the worst thing ever.
Yeah, no question. So I'll give them 2-0. Game three is my, you know, every year I say it, it's the craziest game of the year, every year, Arkansas at Ole Miss. And you may be thinking right now, oh, well, that game wasn't that crazy a year ago. I beg to differ. Ole Miss coming off of a loss, put up 63 points on Arkansas, who was coming off of a win over Mississippi State, and Dart, I think, threw for 1,000 yards in that game. That game was crazy. Every year
it was
crazy. I'm going to go Ole Miss here.
Yeah, I think so. I think the whole, like, Arkansas does crazy things in that game is kind of dissipating just because I don't think that the head hog, as they call him, Sam Pittman's really going to get this thing done. So, at Ole Miss, too, they've played really well at home.
Yeah.
Unless it's been against Kentucky.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to go with Ole Miss. Night game too. That'll be a good atmosphere for them.
Yeah, I agree. It's a 6:45 kick. Did we ever talk about that? I don't think we ever.
No, we did.
All the coaching stuff. We'll do it later this week. Week four is an interesting game at Memphis. They're at the Liberty Bowl to take on Memphis. That is not a gimme game by any stretch of the imagination. Oh God, it's gonna be disgusting.
It's not a gimme game.
I think they'll win. I think Arkansas will win. But if we look up and they lose that game, I'm not completely shocked.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, they have they've really kind of found their groove again. That's a team in Memphis that I think can be a group of five playoff team.
I agree. Yeah.
They've been a team that's been really competitive the last few years. I think Arkansas will win this game, but it is not going to be easy.
No, I agree. And
the Liberty Bowl has been kind of a house for horrors for SEC teams at times over the years.
Yes.
Ole Miss, a really good Ole Miss team lost there. And
State lost there.
State lost there.
Yeah.
State lost there in 21.
15. The Ole Miss.
That's right.
So, 3-1. All right, we're moving right along. Here we go.
Yikes. It's
Notre Dame.
Yeah, even hosting that, I'm not taking Arkansas.
Notre Dame plays two SEC teams this year.
They do.
They play
Notre Dame needs to be pushed into a conference somewhere.
Well, that's never going to happen.
Cooper, get off the pot here.
That's never going to happen with the way they're set up.
They're in conferences in every other sport.
No, I agree.
I don't understand why they're not in a conference in football. Yeah. And they're going to play that to their favor because they're going to be like, I'm going with Notre Dame here.
The 3-2 off week, then they're at Tennessee. Tennessee wanting revenge for what happened a season ago in Fayetteville.
Yeah.
Gotta go with the Vols here.
I'm going with the Vols. We don't know what the quarterback situation's really going to be, but I still think – I think there's a chance that things can be a little bit disastrous for them because of that quarterback thing because it just kind of came out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think they'll be talented enough to win this game.
Yeah. They host Texas A&M. That game is actually on campus. I think they finally are out of the Jerry World thing.
Yes, finally.
That's a loss.
That's a loss. I'm going to go with A&M, even though, again, it's at Fayetteville. But I think that they'll be competitive in this game. They tend to either win a game they're not supposed to or they're really competitive in it, Alabama a few years ago and Tennessee last year they won. I think this will be a game that they're competitive in, but I think A&M wins.
Another home game here, Auburn.
You'll have to tell me what I did in that game.
You took Auburn.
Okay. I should have the consistency in my brain, but I just I forget from time to time. So yeah, I'll go with Auburn.
All right. Mississippi State at home. This is the first time we've done one of these predictions yet. I guess we had Texas A&M. They had Mississippi State, but
I think I'm going to go with State just because at this stage of the year, if you're talking about a Mississippi State team that is kind of starting to find itself, I think that's the key.
This would be a game to do it, yeah.
Where are these two teams at this stage? We have Arkansas at this point, 3-3.
No, hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4. 3-5.
3-5. State could have an upset over somebody. I don't know what State's gonna look like at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'll go with State. State's been for the most part fairly successful against Arkansas.
I'll probably come back to regret it. I'm gonna take State as well. Which leads me to one of my favorite things, Robbie. They're off the next week. They fire him, right?
This time they fire him.
They fire him because they're 3-6, right? So that I say Pittman fired on November 2nd. Off week at LSU. Loss.
Loss. Absolutely. They're not winning at LSU.
At Texas.
Eh.
Loss.
Loss.
Then they host Missouri in the border war. I think they're just ready to go.
They're going to lose that game, too.
They were 3-1, 3-9.
Because at that point, you're devastated.
Yeah, it's over. So 3-9. That's what we'll put the Hogs down for. I'm picking for next week. Let's do LSU.
Okay.
Do the mighty Fighting Tigers. Spoiler, I'm high on them this year. So we'll see how that turns out. All right, tomorrow's the rumble. You know what to do. Get the questions in. We'll answer them. Talk to you guys tomorrow. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning. Here on Super Talk. We'll be right back.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.